RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Meringue.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, two down, one to go here. Portland Sports Leader. This is the firm of Harris and Meringue. We do this every single day from 10 to 1 p.m. We're happy to have you. After us, you'll catch a bonus hour. So you'll get 2 hours of the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. And then, baby, it's prime time from 3 to 7 to take you all the way home. Finishing up 13 hours of live, local, continuous, regional sports talk radio. The bonus hour of the Fan Happy Hour, you ask? Well, that will be joined by our guest now, Jeremiah Coughlin. Hello, my friend. Local comedian, on-field host for the Portland Pickles.
On-field host. We have to delineate there, but, you know, we have a play-by-play.
Right.
Which is Mike Checks, and then we have a PA announcer, which is the illustrious Joe Simons.
The great Joe Simons, also a Coug.
Yes.
So we like that here.
Yes.
We're very happy about that. I met you when Joe and I went out and threw the first pitch.
Yes.
Yes. Pickles games are fun. Right? It's got to be pretty rad to go to that baseball field every single time.
It is. I mean, it's a grind. It gets to be, you know, I mean, I think last year we did 55 games in 70 days or something like that. So it's a lot.
It's a sprint.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's pretty condensed. So by the end of it, you're like, oh man, I remember in May when I was really excited for this. And now it's August and I could not come here for 9 months.
That could be pretty nice.
Yeah.
I'm curious, when you do like your on-field kind of stuff, how much do you play? Because you're a comedian as well.
Sure.
And you've been a successful local comedian as well. How do you separate the two, or do they marry each other, or do you just be you at all the time?
Yeah, I think I just try to be myself. For me, it's 2 hours, 3 hours of crowd work every night. So it's working that same muscle, but I don't think that I've ever taken anything that's really happened on field at a Pickles game and tried to turn it into a bit or vice versa. They're kind of in their own lanes because the audiences are so different. But other than that, it's just like, hey, what's something funny to say right now? You know, like it's the same muscle. It's just different.
We were kind of talking about this a little earlier with my wife on about kind of Timbers fans and how they are kind of super into the Timbers but don't necessarily involve themselves in other sports. Do you find that with the Pickles, or do you find a little more crossover?
I think there is some crossover because we've added, you know, there's the Bangers now. Mm-hmm. We have Bangers, and we have coming up this year is the Cherry Bombs, the women's USL team. So... and you see a lot of the same folks at both of those, so that's good to see that crossover. But, you know, Pickles is such a unique thing with Portland audience. I mean, I think there's people there that have no idea what's going on, and they're perfectly happy just being there and sitting in the grass and watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people...
My kids are that.
Yeah.
That's for my kids, yeah.
Yeah, but there's, like, full-grown adults, too, that do the same thing that maybe even are, like, season ticket holders, and they're like... what is this again? Who are these people playing baseball? I don't really care, but, you know, and I always sort of like catch out of the corner of my ear where people are like, yeah, I think this is like AAA or single A, or they're like affiliated. It's like, no, this is college summer baseball. These are college kids.
Woodbat League.
Yeah. Like, you know, and so it's like, how many times have you come here to Walker Stadium and you don't actually even know, like, you know, maybe it's just my level of sports nerddom that it's like, oh, I know like where these kids go to school. I know how good their school did. I know what their chances are of getting drafted. Like, you know, like I have a pretty good idea of it because I'm a fan of what it is. And, you know, like the other leagues with across the United States with Cape Cod League and Northwoods League and, you know, West Coast League has built itself up to be kind of on par with those like big college woodbat leagues. And it's a real thing, you know, but people are just like, oh, I don't know. It's I live a block from here and there's baseball and I just come here. And
I saw a line and I stood in line and ended up at a baseball game.
That's basically it. And so it's like, does it really do me any good to like, you know, try to educate them or, you know, so it's really awesome to like,
you don't want
to
like mansplain something to somebody.
Exactly.
Or tell them how to have a good time.
And we love having them there. Yeah. Like it does. If they're there and they're having a
tickets
good time,
cost the same.
Yeah, exactly. They're having a great time. It doesn't matter, but it's the cross section of the different people that are there to see it and people that are actually like into it. And those are the kind of people that are, that you see come to like the Bangers games and that kind of thing too. Cause it's actually, I didn't know very much about it before because it's the same ownership. Before we got involved, I had no idea what like USL2 soccer was, you know, sure. But it's very similar, you know, it's off season soccer for people that are playing a pretty high level and it's good soccer, you know.
You got a show coming up. Talk to me about that.
51st jokes.
51st jokes.
51st jokes.
Okay. A little Sandler play right there.
Yeah. So it's been around, started, this is our third year doing it in Portland, but it started like back in 2007, I want to say, in New York City. A buddy of mine, John F. O'Donnell, created it with a bunch of other comics, and it's 50 local comedians doing their first joke. So it's you write a joke in the first 2 days of the year and you have 1 minute to tell it. And so it is quite a fiasco. It's a lot of fun. We're doing it at Mississippi Studios for first time.
That's my old haunt.
Yeah. And it's fun.
That's a great venue for that.
It is going to be really cool. Yeah. We've done it at Show Bar at the Revolution Hall the last 2 years. Which is under the same umbrella, so we're kind of moving up to a bigger venue this year, bigger stage, which will be good for me because we can't fit 50 people on the stage at one time. So we kind of do people in groups, and the show has its own. It's basically a logistical nightmare, and I have no idea why I do it, but it's very, very fun.
Do you have an idea about your joke?
You know, people have asked me that, and I was like, well, it's too early. I can't start writing it yet.
Yeah, how many people cheat?
You know, sometimes
somebody's got something in the old back pocket.
Yeah, or you
can you tell?
As the person who hosts it and hears all 50 jokes, there's definitely people who go up there and I'm like, oh, this isn't a new joke. I've heard this joke.
Because you see all their shows, right? You want to support the community. You go see a lot of these people's shows.
Yeah, or just at open mics. And, you know, I mean, you get a pretty good sense of who's out there. And of the 50 comedians that are doing this year's, I think 48 of them are people that I've definitely been on shows with or performed with or seen perform. You know, there's a couple like brand new people that are like, hey, I'd really like to do this. And I was like, sure, give them a shot, you know. And that's kind of the fun part of it is finding 50 comics that are, you know, like some of the people on there are like me that are nationally touring comedians that do this full time. And some people are people that have just started doing comedy in the last year and really want that platform to do a minute, you know. And some of them are really, that's the fun part of the show too. It's the person who sits through all 50 jokes on stage to see, you know, they're not all home runs.
No. It gives you kind of an opportunity. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but that's how I'm here right now.
Yeah.
Was 1080 before we moved to FM. This is over a decade ago. We did something called Hunt for the Host.
Oh, sure.
And it was hosted by Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
And so we went to all these ancillary Buffalo Wild Wings, kind of whichever your local one was.
Yeah.
And you got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And
I
there
did
was.
It.
Oh, you did it?
Okay. I did it.
So Luke Anderson famously took second in the first year. Yeah. I won the second year. Yeah. And so then Luke and I just stuck around. We're a pain in the ass in everybody's side. And finally, they let us have shows.
There you go.
So that kind of works. And that could happen at your gig, right?
Sure.
The next Jeremiah could be there.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's pretty rad.
Good jokes.
Give me the time and dates on that.
January 2nd, 9 p.m., Mississippi Studios. So it's a Friday.
What do tickets cost?
I think $17.
Not bad.
Not bad. for 50 comedians.
Yeah, what's that run? Like 2.5, 3 hours?
Yeah, so we'll get started pretty much right at 9, and then, like I said, there's like two groups that kind of go through, so there'll be a first group and then a small break, and then as the host, I'll get up and do kind of like bits in between, and then the other part of that's cool about it is it's sort of like our holiday party for the comedy scene.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's a big green room, and, you know, there's drinks and snacks and all that stuff, so the people on the show and kind of anybody in the comedy scene is welcome to just come and hang out and be part of, like, the party part of it, too.
Kind of reminds me of the Oregon Beer Awards. It's kinda the same situation. Yeah. It's done at Rev Hall. And everybody just shows up and everybody just starts drinking and everybody's excited to see each other.
It's fun times.
Well, that's great. We're going to break early, Russ, because I'd like to breathe out when we get into this. We come back, we'll chat a little bit about referees and what makes them their job more entertaining for the rest of us. We'll do that next. The Firm on 105.1 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Jeremiah Coughlin joining us here for the final hour of The Firm of Harris and Morang. Got a special guest for tomorrow all day on the show, so we'll let you tune in for that. Danny will be back on Wednesday, and we'll get things fired up. Some stuff to look forward to in the future. Tomorrow, I got this in front of me. We got some heavy NFL stuff to get into tomorrow. Free consultation as well. We'll chat a little NBA and their effort. I want to see if there's a new budding rivalry, and if it's a real rivalry, if it wants to be shoved down our throats. So there's a lot to get to tomorrow. But Jeremiah, happy to join us here today. I figured we'd have a little fun with this. And we were texting yesterday to figure out what the hell we wanted to do today. And I had this thought process in my head as I'm watching Sunday Night Football. And have you ever noticed that a lot of referees in sports in general would behoove them to take a public speaking class?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some that could, you know, and then you get the mic, and the mic doesn't work.
And they don't know what they're doing.
There's too much going on, I think, especially in the NFL, when there's so much going on, and they're trying to get all these things, and then they're like, oh, my mic's hot before I'm ready to actually talk to the people. That's one of my favorite things, the hot mic. They could use a little help when it comes to, you know, I think they, as a rule, they probably learn all of the things that you need to know to be an NFL referee. And then day one, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, there's 70,000 people in this room.
And if you make a call that they don't like, they're going to hate you.
And you've also got to communicate to them in a way that you could explain it to a 5-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Because people don't know what's going on.
Well, and it's been something that I've kind of harped on the NFL for a long time, is sometimes I'm like, what's a catch? You guys change this rule every day. Right. How am I supposed to know if you don't know?
Yeah.
One of my favorites of all time is Mike Carey, was an NFL ref. He loved to ham it up. He was fantastic at this. It would be like whenever it was a call that is traditionally on the defense and it's going to be the offense instead, he hammed it up. So it'd be like holding defense number 55.
Gotcha.
Or he's like pass interference. offense number 12. And you're like, wow. And he gave that. What are some of the ones that you've noticed that you've like of refs having fun with kind of replays or calls, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to go back to it. Like, so I was at the game last Thursday, the Seahawks Rams.
Okay.
So the backwards.
Crazy game.
Yeah. The backwards pass 2-point conversion in the stadium. We had no idea. Like, on TV, I think you had more of an idea of what was going on. They communicated very little information, and you're just like, well, okay, well, the scoreboard says the game's tied now. So, you know, it's like they need to tell us more, but I get why they don't. You know, like I was talking to Joe Simons about this. I was on the Blazers wrap-up last night.
I just can't get away from Joe Simons on this show, can I?
He's the ghost of Joe Simons haunts us all. But like the NBA now with the, since COVID, they do the straight to camera.
Right, right.
You know, and,
they always kind of like lean into it.
And it's their moment, you know, and I'm against it. I'm like, go to an open mic. If you want to be a comedian, sir, you get your own show. But it's the same thing. They do the kind of bait and switch thing where NBA, I take pretty big issue with the NBA review system, where it's the only sport where you can like add infractions during a review. Imagine if in the NFL they were like, oh yeah, well, replay assist, we went back and there was holding on that play.
Oh boy, we'd be here forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The NBA is the only one that does it like that, and I think that they love to do that too, where they say like, oh yeah, the you know, the player initiated contact with the ball first, but. And then they'll throw a butt in there and they kind of
there's a little smile.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, by the way, you know, NHL has a fun time with that. I think so, too. I can't remember which ref it was, but there was one recently where his mic was hot and he was like, you guys are going to hate this, but that play was offsides. And of course, everyone in the arena did hate it. You know,
yes.
It was a disallowed goal. Wes McCauley is kind of famous for that in the NHL, where he'll, you know, he'll be like 38-22, 5 minutes each for fighting. And he like pantomimes, you know, does this little Notre Dame mascot fighting, you know, act out. It is funny to see the NBA guys, especially that like straight to camera. Here's my moment. How do I make it, you know, something that can go viral or whatever? Mm. And it's been coming up more and more, you know, on my Instagram reels, where it's like, oh, this NBA ref thinks he's, you know, auditioning for the Tonight Show.
Lon Chaney or something. it's funny, too, because I'm probably with you that I don't love it either. I can be a pretty old school fuddy-duddy when it comes to sports. Like, I'm old man yelling at the clouds all the time.
Sure.
I mean, my favorite sport is baseball, so of course I'm old man. Tradition!
Yeah.
You know, I'm pissed off that there's not a Pac-12 team in the Rose Bowl this year, you know, because I'm a tradition guy. But couldn't I argue, though, that the entertainment aspect is key, and the professionalism, it feels like a wet blanket? I don't know where to sit on it, because sometimes I giggle. Like you said, it comes across your timeline on whatever you're scrolling through, and you kind of go, hee-hee-hee. Wait. I don't like that. And so I wonder how you meet it in the middle. Cause some of these dudes on TV, it's like boring, but you want that professionalism. Like the Hockeylies were always really good at it because they didn't show a ton of emotion, but they were polished.
Yes. Yeah, it is a fine line. And I think the funny thing too, is as we sit here and talk about like the NBA refs, I couldn't tell you one of their names. I don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not like gaining stardom from this. You know, you're not seeing them on like the State Farm commercials.
Well, I'll tell you what,
but
though,
maybe
in some circles they do. You know, Danny sits in that chair all the time and talks about how players know if you're on the road and this guy is a ref, you know you're hosed. If you're at home and this guy's the ref, you know you're in a good spot.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of with you, though. I try to know these guys' names as little as possible.
Right.
Because referees should not be a part of the game.
Yeah. There's been some bad ones recently.
I know.
Yeah. I feel like that whatever game that was, what was that? The end of, God, what game was that? Just recently. And it was like, yeah, we did, you know, and they bring in, you know, the rules expert. And even he's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't really like that that's the end of that game. Oh, it's the Chargers game. That Chargers game where they would have gotten the ball back.
And oh,
like,
yes.
And they're like, oh, well, yeah. I mean, I guess that's a penalty, but yeah, you probably don't have to call that. You
See,
know?
And that's why, that's like something why the NFL drives me so crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
Is because they're, you know, and look, I was really against the pitch clock.
I was really against the larger bases in baseball. I was just kind of like, what? This isn't going to speed up the game. If anything, it's going to score more runs and make the game longer. I was wrong.
Right.
Completely wrong. So I'm trying to use that as understanding leagues want to tinker and leagues want to try to make their product as best as possible. But sometimes there's too much tinkering. If the refs don't know what's going on, how the hell am I supposed to know what's going on?
Yeah, and I think baseball has a really hard time because there is no communication with the audience. So, like, if you're in stadium for any of the weird baseball stuff that happens and they have no way to tell anybody what's going on, and then, you know, there are these like ground rules for each stadium and minutia things, and there's no way to communicate that, and the umpires certainly aren't public speakers and certainly aren't ready to explain this in a way that 47,000 people are going to understand. So they're just like, he's out, and you guys are just going to have to deal with that. Like, you just live with it.
The classic line, as a parent, because I said so.
Because I said so, yeah. Exactly.
How many times we hear that from our moms, yeah.
I was actually kind of interested. I just read a book called A Day in the Bleachers.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of this. It was literally written during the 1954 World Series. So Willie Mays' catch.
Okay.
So it was that game. A guy bought a ticket, sat in the bleachers. He's a Giants fan. He watched the whole game. And then he wrote a book. And it's, I don't know, like a normal size paperback book that literally is from him leaving his house in the morning till the end of the game.
Just a reality TV show of the 54 World Series.
It is so good. I read that book in like 3 days. It's the way that he explains it. It reminds me of the way that my grandpa would explain baseball. But he mentions that there is a pitch clock, theoretically, during that time.
Really?
And I haven't really gone back and researched it, but I think that the idea of a 20-second, 30-second pitch clock has been around, at least in theory, and them putting it on the wall behind the batter is obviously a different story, but it's been there for a long time. Like, they've been trying to enforce this. I mean, that was, what, 70 years ago? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm in the same boat that I did not love the pitch clock, and the people that are like, well, baseball games are too long. And I'm like, well, you just don't like baseball. If you don't want to watch 3.5 hours of baseball, then you don't like baseball. And I still have my issues with it. You know, like, there, as someone who works for a baseball team, there are very few nights where I get to come home and say, I'm going to sit down and watch the Mariners game tonight. Mm-hmm. But the way that it used to be was the game would start and you could go like make dinner or order a pizza or throw the laundry in or whatever and come back, and it was still the bottom of the first inning.
You knew you had time.
Now it's the fourth inning.
Oh, have you ever heard of the 9 for 9 for 9 challenge? No. Yeah. 9 hot dogs, 9 beers, and 9 innings. Good luck now, amigo.
Yeah.
But I think you're onto something there, and I think there's something really fun, or if not fun, but kind of puts leagues in a crosshair of what to do. As the rules state, players are always going to try to find ways to bend that a little bit. I would argue in the pitch clock, guys started shaking off catchers. Mm-hmm. Guys started really, you know, the classic Greg Maddux had his binder. Kurt Schilling had his binder about hitters and their kind of tendencies. And then you slide over to the NBA, for example, and they've gotten a little more lax on traveling. So then I watch James Harden take 4 steps every time he shoots the basketball. But what baseball has tried to do is curb that a little bit. And the NBA, it feels like they've kind of let it go.
Yeah.
And I've always said, you know, the NFL and the NBA got to a crossroads, a fork in the road, where it said, are we here for the integrity of the sport? Right. Or are we here for entertainment? And I feel like the NBA, it's that that old Pontiac meme of the guy sliding across to take the exit only lane. That's them into entertainment.
Yeah.
And they kind of just said, look, we're here for this game to be for people to, you know, be wild about instead of so hyper-focused on the sport.
Yeah, and I just saw a clip that was like, this was what traveling was in 1970, and it was literally a guy got past a ball and he took a gather step, and then they clipped to Giannis, where he's spinning the ball on one hand and then taking 4 dribbles afterwards and then 2 more steps. You know, I was really surprised the other night. I saw someone get like a 3 in the key, like a lane violation.
You were like, whoa!
I don't remember the last time. I mean, you remember when you were taught basketball and it was like, oh, 3 in the key. Like, you can't stay in this part of the basketball court.
And it felt like a 1, 2, 3.
When was the last time you saw that, like, called in an NBA game?
Couldn't tell you.
I mean, you would have to just stand there forever to really be called for that anymore, I think.
Oh, but we can't hand check anymore.
Right.
Do you think refs are a problem? Or do you think it's kind of what we... It's so easy to blame refs. You know, everybody hates a ref. There's no ref out there that people like. But I've started to be concerned that there might actually be a problem.
Yeah, I think, as you said, it's the fork in the road. And, you know, I mean, at the end of that NFL game where they're like, well, what are we doing? Like, is this deciding games? You know, and so I think it goes back and forth because it's a really hard job. Mm-hmm. And we all know, like, any NFL, any college football game, you could call holding on every play.
Right.
You could call pass interference on every play. You know, now with the emphasis on protecting quarterbacks, you know, like, basically anytime anybody runs into a quarterback, you could call a penalty for that. So the line is so blurred and so thin for these guys that it's impossible, you know, and obviously it depends on what team you're rooting for.
Sure, and the stats back it up, too, to use baseball. I mean, you have a great point there with NFL. With baseball, I feel like those umpires are very maligned, very much hated, and they get the calls right 98% of the time.
Yeah.
But we remember the 2% more than anything.
Exactly. Well, and now with, like, metrics and all of this, and now that we're going to go to the robot balls and strikes in the next season, you know, and people will still find something to complain about. There'll still be a reason why they didn't get it right, you know. And even now, I mean, they're showing, you know, that you can challenge the robot ump's call and that kind of all that stuff is like, well, then what are we doing if that's not getting it right either, you know? And it's like, do we take the human element out of it also, right? Which is like now with the virtual measurement and that. Remember, I mean, when they used to bring the sticks onto the field and do all that.
Dude,
I mean,
look at tennis.
Yeah.
What tennis does now.
Well, and
it's they have it instantly where the ball landed.
Yeah. And football is such a case study of that, right? Where it's like, put a microchip in the ball. And you'll know, a little light will go off when they make it 10 yards, you know? And it's like, but now we're spotting, you know, because that's all eyeballed human error. The ability of all these people is, it's affecting the game, but you need that, right? Like, I'm not for the robot balls and strikes because that's, you know, then let's just put all the numbers into an AI model and they'll tell us who won the game. You know?
We like, don't even have to watch. Why are we wasting time here?
Remember on the Jetsons when they used to have like the robot football, you know, and it's like, well, let's just do that. Let's see. But it takes some of the, you know, romantic part of these games away, in my opinion.
You want to talk some NFL?
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football, one for the books. A lot of defense in that game, huh?
Tackling optional.
Tackling optional. Jeremiah Coughlin in with us. We'll get to Niners take one and set themselves up with a showdown for the Seattle Seahawks for it all. Not just the division, but the number one seed. But first, the kahuna with sports.
You ever had a big kahuna burger?
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Everybody's talking all this stuff about me. 12:37 here. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday. Jeremiah Coughlin in the house. Local comedian, Pickles host on field. Catch him everywhere. Happy to you join us.
Man about town.
Yeah. Man about town. He'll stick around for another hour for the bonus hour of the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. So stick right here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM. The San Francisco 49ers last night defeat the Chicago Bears 42-38 in an absolute shootout. The fireworks got started early when Brock Purdy throws a pick six, and everybody starts going, uh-oh. You know, I don't know if you felt this way, Jeremiah, but I never knew what to think about San Francisco all year long.
Yeah, this season's been weird.
And Brock Purdy for the most part. And I think I said this back in week five or six. Rusty would have to go check the tape. But I've been really high on Kyle Shanahan this season because with all the issues they've had, they look better than they've have in previous seasons, at least record-wise.
Yeah.
And last night was a proof to that. Look, Caleb wasn't bad. Brock Purdy, 24 of 33, 303 yards, three TDs, that one interception that I mentioned. But he also had 28 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. This Niners team is dangerous.
They are a wagon right now, and it's I don't love it as a Seahawks fan.
I bet.
This is not the time for them. Because I think we, with the Rams being so good and the Seahawks being so good, you sort of wrote off. Not wrote off, but the,
no, I think
forgot.
A lot of us wrote him off.
And you forgot, you know, it's like, oh, well, and Purdy's hurt. And I think last night showed how hurt he was and how much better he's feeling. The what he was able to do with his legs last night is not, I don't love to see it, but it's impressive. I mean, you go back and look at when he first came back from injury and he was trying to stand in the pocket and not really play his game. And it showed.
Mm-hmm.
And now what he did last night, you're like, okay, he's back.
I think he's
feeling a little better. I think.
I think it also helped that when Mac Jones came in, he played well, but he tried to play. They needed him to play like Purdy did.
Yeah.
And he got his ass whooped every single game, taking big hits, coming off the field, just like, I'm going to die. That's how it looked, and they were able to sustain that. How wild is it to think that if I told you the 49ers had an injury-riddled season and Christian McCaffrey might go on to do things that nobody else has done? He's the guy that's not hurt.
Yeah, that is surprising. Well, and that's the other thing to think about, right, was that last night was no George Kittle. You know, I mean,
didn't Trent Williams go down early in that game?
Yes. So if you look at that, I mean, if they get guys back— not good for the NFC West if you're not a Niners fan.
I know. It is so wild to think you mentioned this. And since I've got you on, we'll talk a little Seahawks with this as well in comparison. It's so wild that we did spend the entire year thinking about Rams-Seahawks. And more often than not, probably more Rams than Seahawks. I've been on the Seahawk train all season. I don't have a team in the NFL. I don't care who wins and loses. I just want to watch good football.
Yeah,
I've been on the Seahawk train all season long. And they've impressed me a lot. But I think it's easy to say that Matt Stafford's probably the MVP right now. Sean McVay's always got the sexiness of coaching. They're in L.A., et cetera. Sexy. And to think after this game last night, the Rams have no shot at the division or the one seed.
Yeah.
And like that.
That's crazy because they have been the best team for most of the season. And it's this weird. This year has been so weird with all of the injuries and all of the moving parts. And I didn't expect the Seahawks to be where they're at right now. I don't think anybody really did when we move away from Geno and into Sam Darnold and people are like, well, you know, I mean, and
kind of the same.
Know, yeah. Like no DK, no Tyler Lockett, like all of the things that had been positives. And to see the defense has really been the thing. And then, you know, with Charbonnet and Walker, seeing them really carry the load with the running game. I didn't expect it. I don't think they were picked to finish first in the NFC, you know, which is a definite possibility. I mean, that game next week with, or yeah, what's today? Friday?
It'll be Saturday. Today's Monday. Yeah, good job,
good
dude.
Lord. I don't know. It's Christmas, New Year's.
It's the
week.
Void. We call it the void. Yeah, Nobody knows. I only know it's Monday because I had to come to work.
And I'm also a stand-up comedian. I rarely know what day it is anyways, but yeah, so this week, so that game is just going to be so huge.
Yeah, I think it's really fun. I'm excited to watch this game. I'm curious from your standpoint as a Seahawk fan. I mean, JSN is 1,700 yards receiving this year, had an outside shot at at 2,000, which we've never seen before. I would be shocked if he gets it. That's like a 280-yard game for him. But this offense has really come around. You've mentioned it, the defense, whether it's D-Law or Witherspoon or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who as a Seahawk fan scares you the most in the playoffs? If it's not the Niners or the Rams.
Oh.
Because that division, Danny sat in your chair and said the NFC West, open the chamber, spin it, click it in, and make a choice. Because it was all over the place. But you're looking around, Bears. You know, we saw the Bears last night in this game. They can obviously shoot out. The Packers have the ability to be good.
Yeah, if love
the
comes
Eagles.
Back.
The Eagles are the most loaded roster that for some reason can't do anything in the second half. Who is a team out there that you would be scared of if you were a Seahawk fan? Butter. Or can you say nobody?
Yeah, I wouldn't say nobody. I mean, being at that Rams game, I mean, if it, the Rams and the Niners obviously are scary. You know, the Eagles, it's so weird. The Eagles, like, on my dad's side of the family, they live in suburban Philadelphia. And so every Sunday I'm on a text chain with my uncle and my two cousins, his two sons. And it's just them bemoaning everything that the Eagles do. You're also the defending Super Bowl champions. You have a great record. You've won, you know, like they just beat the Bills in what was a pitcher's duel, but was a really good game, you know, and it's just like these guys are ready to burn their Randall Cunningham jerseys every week. And I think that's like, I don't think it's just them. I think it's everybody that's an Eagles fan is like, what are we doing? Why are we so bad? And it's like, you're not. It just doesn't feel the same as it has in the past where you're not blowing people out. You're not dominating. Barkley isn't doing what he's done. Hurts isn't doing what he's done. But they're finding ways to win, and that's what champions do. So it's hard to really get behind anybody else in the NFC for the same reasons where it's like, well, you know, I mean, I was really high on the Colts until Jones went down. You know, I felt like they had the pieces, you know, with Taylor at running back and the defense that was solid. I mean, that's been a proven recipe for champions, right?
I mean, look at how much fits they gave Seattle with Phillip Rivers at cornerback.
Right. And and my point on that was that showed you that Daniel Jones was not really doing anything that special. He was put in a system that was working for him and he was able to make it work. And the fact that Phillip Rivers stepped in and did, you know, basically a pretty good job. You know, the last couple games, it's tough, you know.
It's a 45-year-old man.
You know, that's like, I that actually might be the joke that I write is I'm having trouble because I'm a 44-year-old man, right? And I'm not saying I could play in the NFL, but also it's like.
Being told somebody older is washed when you're that same age. Dude, I'm a LeBron James age.
Right.
LeBron and I graduated the same year of high school.
And you see, like, the mentality of like the American public too, right? You know who else is 44 years old? Channing Tatum, right? Channing Tatum, who everybody thinks is like some superhero and is super hot. But if you put him behind an offensive line and had 11 guys trying to take his head off for 2 hours, he would die.
He would die and not look so hot now.
Exactly. I mean, I just watched this Jason Statham. He's 58 years old.
We were talking at the beginning of the show about Pedro Pascal, who's like one of the most hottest actors in Hollywood right now. He's in his 50s.
Yeah, it's such a weird...
Playing superheroes in Fantastic Four.
And Statham, he was a diver. Like, he was on the diving team for England. Like, Olympic diving.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's so weird that, like, the NFL is such, like, its own beast, and it's so physical, and the amount of abuse that these guys take on a you know, a weekly basis, that, yeah, being 44, 45 years old, it is brutal, and I wouldn't want to do it, but it is, like, it is funny to hear people being like, oh, get your walker out. This guy could die out there. I think I actually saw a stupid Jason Garrett. Oh, my God. That guy. At that Chargers game, at the end of the game, he goes, I was worried that Justin Herbert was literally going to die.
Okay, all right.
I was like, I've fallen, and I can't get up.
That's Philip Rivers,
He's Jeremiah Coughlin. Stick around with us for one more segment, plus an hour with Luke Anderson on the Fan Happy Hour. And we come back, closing arguments, we'll talk a little Blazers and get you out of here on that. This is Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Meringue is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the closing arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law.
one-day divorce mediation, peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll send you on your way. Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll have a wonderful guest that'll stick with me for the whole time. I'll save that for you tomorrow, so you got to tune in. Talk a little Marcus Freeman, some more NFL to get to, some NBA as well, plus free consultation. But while I still have you, Jeremiah, we will finish up some conversation with some NBA chatter.
Yes.
Did you watch that Blazer game last night?
Yes. Watched most of it.
You know what? This will be a fun conversation with you because I normally have these convos with Danny.
Like
eats, sleeps, and breathes it, you know?
Ooh, yeah. Big basketball guy.
Big basketball guy. More so than me, and I don't know, more so than you?
It's fifth on the list of sports that I watch.
Oh, that low, huh?
Yeah. Well, and I still watch it.
But, sure.
I mean... for me, it's baseball, hockey, NFL, UFC, then basketball.
UFC's not on my list. I put football on that list.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes. I don't watch it. I catch a little bit of it, but yeah, I've been watching more Blazers basketball this year than any other season though. And like I said, last night I was on the wrap up show, so I had to watch the game. I had to know a little bit about what was going on and you know, they're fun to watch. I think they're a likable team. Hate to say it, but nobody liked Chauncey Billups, and
I'm right there with you on it.
And yeah, I think people like Splitter. I don't know that recipe for wins of shooting 51 three-pointers in a game is sustainable. And if you're going to live by it, you're going to die by it. And they've definitely died by it.
I'm with you on that big time. I'm not a fan of teams. I mean, that's kind of where NBA is right now. Danny always pushes back on me with the NBA. It's just kind of a three-point game. But if you're not efficient, I don't love it.
Yeah.
But last night, Shaedon Sharpe, Donovan Clingan, have yourself a bow. They both played excellent last night.
Well, and what it comes down to is the Celtics missed theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Derek White was, what, 2 for 10 from three-point, you know?
Jaylen Brown at 37, but he's been doing that of late.
Yeah, that's a given. But you look at their ancillary guys that are usually going to, you know, shoot better than 10% from beyond the arc. And when they don't, you know, it's the same kind of recipe, right? Where if we're going to live by it, then they're going to die by it. And with similar, like when we beat Golden State earlier in the year and the same thing, I think we shot 48 three-pointers and we were successful. And other than Steph Curry, they weren't. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see what a 12-19 Blazer team beating teams that they shouldn't beat, losing to teams that they shouldn't lose to.
Celtics had some pretty bad mistakes down the run yesterday. But to flip that on the Blazers side, you know, I thought Denny had a rough game. Turnovers, missed free throws, etc. I hate to bash on Denny because he's been the bright spot for the Blazers. But if we're looking at it game to game, let me run this by you on the Boston Celtics looking at this box score here. Derek White at 12 points. His plus minus for the game is 0.
Yeah.
Which means he did not affect the game in any way, shape, or form. Jaylen Brown, 37 points in 37 minutes. His plus minus, also 0.
Wow.
Jordan Walsh, 10 minutes as a starter, 5 points. Starter, now I know sometimes that rotates out. He has a 0. All right. Anfernee Simons, 19 minutes, 13 points, minus 15.
Oh.
So you kind of got to catch sometimes these teams having bad nights like that.
Yeah.
And that'll get you going. And that's where I think teams like this Blazer team really have to find. You just have to, you can't lose the Pelicans anymore, but you can catch Boston sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see guys like, I think Klingon had 18 points and 18 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had like 9 rebounds.
Dude, that's the guy I want.
In the first like 4 minutes.
He's my favorite player, or he's like my favorite player that I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
He's my guy.
He's very easy to root for.
Who's yours?
I would say that. I really like Love. You know,
Caleb
like,
Love. Yeah,
Caleb Love is he's another guy too where he has these games where you're like, oh, this guy is an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has games where he's just ice cold. So
take the ball out of that man's hands.
Yeah, don't pass it to him. So
yeah, it's an interesting Blazer team, and we get to have a lot of fun with it on this show with Danny here every day, and it's It's always sometimes I'm glad to chat Blazers with you because sometimes it's easy for us to live in our bubble. And Danny's got a couple different bubbles because I'm sure I'm very different than Joe in his life. So it's always nice to kind of remind myself that, you know, you can step out and check with other people because, you know, we can be pretty tough on Shaedon Sharpe on this show.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are times when I see him that I really like it. And there's no doubt about it that he's the most polarizing player on the team.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because we all want him to be great.
Yeah.
And we all see the dunk he had over the weekend where he's basically horizontal, you know, and he had a nice pickup one last night too. And he can have great night shootings and he can have tough night shooting. And I think that's a big challenge.
Yeah. Because
we want you. We like you. We're rooting for you.
Exactly.
Jeremiah, go ahead, plug your show one more time for us.
51st Jokes, January 2nd. That is a Friday night. It starts at 9 o'clock, Mississippi Studios. 50 local comics doing their first joke of the year, all hosted by me. Good time.
Should be fantastic. Check that out. Go get those tickets and check it out. You will see here Jeremiah. He'll be on the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson one more hour. They have a bonus hour today and then prime time to send you on your way. Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation, peace treaties, not war plans. Jeremiah, thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me. This is fun.
For Jeremiah Coughlin, preschooler self, Jeff Russ doing the heavy lifting for us today. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.